Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And remember, if you are driving in the rain with your hazard lights on in the state of Louisiana, you are a flash hole. Unless we get a better description, I think that's something that's going to stick. Because you're not supposed to drive with your flashing lights on, your hazard lights on. If you are moving with the flow of traffic, just don't put your lights on. If you are truly a hazard to traffic, or if traffic is moving at 40 miles an hour and you're going 10 miles an hour because of a flat tire or whatever, you can use your hazard lights then. But if you're going with the flow of traffic, if the flow of traffic is 20 miles an hour because it's raining so heavily, everybody slowed down, don't put your hazard lights on. Again, don't be a flash hole. Maybe we should do bumper stickers. Don't be a flash hole. That'd be kind of cool. You know, we're hearing in the news about this truancy problem in Louisiana, and I had no idea it was that bad. 4 out of 10 students in the state don't go to school on a regular basis. And that is better than it was, what, last year, 48%. So, you know, kids have got to get to school. And then I heard earlier somebody talking about, kids don't want to go to school if they get bullied. So we've got to have another conversation really soon about bullying kids. And I touched on it the other day when I talked about Miss Universe. Miss Universe said that she's gained a little weight and she has just broken down over criticism of her weight gain. She's still a beautiful person and she gains a little bit of weight and people are bashing her in social media. I would love to see pictures of the people who are bashing her, because I bet she looks a lot better than those people. I wish we could expose everybody who uses social media and relate their criticism of somebody to the way they actually look. And I know it's this anonymous thing, but, you know, just from an ethical standpoint, how can you feel good about yourself criticizing somebody and you've got the same problem or even a bigger problem? So, you know, a Miss Universe should not get bullied. And there should be more talk about how to deal with those things that come up in life. So we'll talk about that again soon. Coming up, I do want to get to this interesting topic here. A Louisiana kindergartner has lost both parents. And so she was adopted by two women, a lesbian couple. And so apparently when the school found out, they kicked the student out because the student has two mommies. It's the Bible Baptist Academy that is committed to instructing and living in accordance with the teaching of Scripture. I appreciate that. But should this little girl have been kicked out of school? Now, I know, and I'm sure somebody's going to call up and ask, I know the school has a right to do it. It is a private religious school. They have every right to do it. But I just don't think that's the right message. And I don't think it's the right message for Christians. And we've talked about this sometimes when there's been something that has come up in Catholic schools, where it seems like it's hypocritical. I mean, you're teaching Christianity and you're rejecting people because of something. I mean, everybody's a sinner. So why do you pick on a certain group that in your mind is sinning? And so you've defined their sin as worse than your sins? I find this to be really, really hypocritical. And I there are a lot of gay parents out there. A lot of same-sex couples have adopted children. And they need a home. And I know people say, well, there's kids out there for everybody to adopt. I don't think there are. And if I'm wrong, let me know. But I know that there are a lot of gay couples that are doing a great job raising kids. I'm sure Anderson Cooper and his husband are doing a great job raising their son. I personally know a lesbian couple in Denver. They're separated, they're divorced, but they're co-parenting a child, a son. And I have a feeling that he's going to grow up and like just what they like, women. But it doesn't mean that he got it from them. So we're going to get into that here in just a moment. I want to go to Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages.
Let's clean up some of the texts from last hour. We'll start with the correction corner. A couple people texted us to ask if Hillary Clinton ever actually did plead the fifth.
I think she did.
The answer is no, that she did not.
Oh, she did not.
Hillary Clinton herself never was forced to take the Fifth Amendment. She had a lot of people on her staff that took the Fifth Amendment, including this IT staffer who took the fifth 125 times in a row as part of an immunity deal that he had with the FBI during the sort of email server investigation. But Hillary was never deposed and was never asked
to do anything that
put her in that situation.
But I know we were talking about this at the time. And is that when President Trump said, you see, the mob takes the fifth. You're innocent. If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment? So basically, Trump was saying, if you take the fifth, you're guilty.
That's exactly right. That was the same incident. So Hillary's aides were testifying or deposed, and they took the fifth. But HRC herself never did.
Okay. She might have shared a fifth with her husband.
But, I would hope she'd share it.
I hope she left something for Bill.
In that regard, here's a text that says, why would Trump take the fifth? I'm sure he makes enough money to buy his own fifth.
Well, that's a good point. You'd think that maybe he's got his own Trump whiskey or vodka or something.
A couple texts in response to your conversation with Howie Kaplan. Here's one that says, there's lots of places in New Orleans that are not the French Quarter. How will you make sure that everybody gets the attention they deserve and not just the touristy areas?
Well, that's something that Howie Kaplan will have to work on. I mean, he's going to have to work on being fair to everybody. And it's kind of like the city of New Orleans pays so much attention to the French Quarter, and they don't pay much attention to New Orleans East. And that's a shame, because they got to take care of everybody. And I know how important tourism is here. But if you're going to have an office of nighttime economy, then it really needs to be fair, and they need to take care of everybody.
We're starting to get some texts about the little girl who got kicked out of that private religious school. Here's one that says, that kid went there the year prior. This school turned her back on that little girl.
Yeah.
And I believe one of the women that adopted her was her aunt. Like, there's no empathy for a kid that lost both of her parents. I'm Catholic, and I went to private school all my life, and I think this is completely wrong, and the school should be sued if possible.
Well, I don't know if they can, because they have a right to do it. But then I love that we have a right to call them out on it. You know, it's the Bible Baptist Academy, and they're so anal retentive in their little strict Baptist beliefs that they're going to eject this child from a school because the child lost both of her parents, and she's being raised by a lesbian couple. I mean, there's nothing Christian about that.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, I love the fact that you make this a show for all, but it does feel like this show and you specifically get more joy out of the fall of a Republican way more than a Democrat. Being honest, no, I cannot prove that, but I challenge you to put that to a vote from your listening audience.
Well, you know, we don't always trust the audience to come up with the right answer. I mean, they come up with a lot of specific answers for us. But in terms of like that, that's not going to be a scientific vote. And people have impressions of me. I'm glad you brought this up. And I think maybe I do have a tendency to do that, because there is so much right-wing radio on the air in this country that I love the fact that we're not, and that we are an alternative. And all these other, the other stations, the other shows are going overboard to either not talk about the negative with Trump, or just ignore the negative with Trump, or support Trump by any means necessary, like making up stuff like the FBI planted the information, planted the evidence. Well, if they did, I hope we find out about that. And of course, that would be wrong. But we have no reason to believe that. But people are now spreading that around. So there are all those shows out there, in the same way that Rush Limbaugh in the late 80s, in the same way that Limbaugh was an answer to to liberal media on television and the perception that the media was owned by liberals. There's no reason why this show or a show like this can't move in a direction where, you know, yeah, we're going to take up some of those battles that these other stations and these other shows are not taking up. That's all. We're just an alternative. So if it seems like that, then maybe it's true. Donald Trump also is a very colorful character. And maybe I think this is really a truth. I was a Republican most of my life. My dad was a Republican. I grew up Republican. I am now a registered independent and describe myself as a radical moderate. I am so in line with so much of conservative ideology that it hurts me that the party is being destroyed. The party that I knew is being destroyed. And I don't like that. And so, yes, I tend to want to reject and point out the blowhards, the Ted Cruz's, the Ron DeSantis's, the Lindsey Graham's, the people who are noisemakers, the Matt Gaetz, the noisemakers. They're not doing anything but making noise. They're collecting a salary, getting rich, and they're making noise. And they're all so hypocritical in so many ways. So, yeah, I mean, I love to call that out. All right, so let's talk about this young girl. She's kicked out of this religious school. They have a right to do it. But is that the right thing to do? Jennifer Parker and her wife, Emily Parker, took in Jennifer's niece, Zoe, after the girl's father suffered an accident 2 years ago. They adopted her. And it seems to me like they're just helping this child, and the school kicks her out of the school. Just seems wrong to me. And why is it so wrong? I would love to hear the explanation. I know what it is, but I still want to hear it. An explanation of why it is so wrong for same-sex couples to adopt children. Also, coming up in just a few minutes, today is Ian Anderson's birthday, lead singer of Jethro Tull. We're going to replay part of a conversation that I had with him not too long ago. One of the more challenging interviews I've had. Really a smart, intellectual guy. And he was kind of a challenge of an interview, but I enjoyed it. So part of that is coming up along with your calls next. I'm Scoot on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the SOTA Rock Culture calendar for today, August the 10th, it's the birthday of lead singer of Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson is 75 years old today, and I wanted to share with you part of a conversation I had with Ian not long ago. And he's got a new album out, and Jethro Tull does. And this conversation with Ian was just really fascinating because he's a really smart guy and really one of the most intelligent rockers I've interviewed. I wanted to share part of this with you. And I asked him at one point, take us back to the moment when you decided to make the flute part of rock music.
Well, the very precise moment was when I had taken my trusty Fender Strat in to hand it back to the music store that I was, you know, kind of renting it from, really. At that moment, I knew I wanted a microphone. I knew I wasn't going to be a great guitar player like Eric Clapton or Jeff Beck or Jimmy Page or any of those guys. So I knew I wanted a microphone, and I knew I wanted a Shure Unidyne 3, a precursor to the long-lasting Shure Model 57, which is still currently widely used in the world today. And I looked around the music store for something else that, you know, I was being allowed a certain amount of extra money in part exchange, and it's just a flute hanging on the wall caught my eye, mainly because it was shiny and looked like something I could take apart and put in my pocket. And that was just a whimsical moment. I had no logic or serious thought behind it, just a chance. It could have been something else. It could have been a ukulele. It certainly couldn't have been a cello or a double bass, but it turned out to be a flute, and that was it. But I couldn't get a note out of the thing for some months to come, and I finally, in late December of 1967, I managed to play the note of G, and then I managed to get an E and an A and a B and throw in the flattened fifth, and I had the blues scale, and I could improvise blues solos within a few days and started playing it at the Marquee Club. So that was the beginning of my flute playing, very untutored, very naive, and an aggressive way of playing. So I couldn't get a pure note. I would reinforce it by singing the note at the same time, which gave it a bit more punch. And that was it, really. And I wasn't the only flute player in town by any means, but probably in the context of playing in a blues band. And
right.
And the improvisational stuff, I suppose I had the edge over the two or three other flute players that were in other bands. We were actually saxophone players who doubled flute and played flute in a couple of songs. But with me, it was mainly the trying to be the equal of the electric guitar, really, to try and find some other voice that was not so common.
And that's how Ian Anderson started using the flute as his like signature instrument on stage. And we all can picture him standing on one leg with the other leg up playing that flute. I asked him about Aqualung. And there's no way that you're going to hear the first few notes of Aqualung and lose the question in a Name That Tune contest, because the first notes of Aqualung, very, very distinguished. And I also mentioned to Ian Anderson, it's a very distinguished song, kind of like Beethoven's Fifth.
Well, that's right. I mean, it took me 4 notes to do the Aqualung riff, and Beethoven, you see, he was way ahead of me. He managed it in only 2. Da-da-da-dum. I mean, 3 notes, but 2 different ones. So I think there are a lot of great classic rock moments in terms of little phrases, little motifs that are very memorable. And of course, some of them, like Zeppelin's da 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 dum, you know, is a very memorable thing. Or da 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 dum bum 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 ba ba. So it was a particularly good one that Jack Bruce told me about writing that song, and of course the probably in some ways the best of the lot of them really was Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water, which was particularly good. I got to play that actually with John Lord before he died in a big TV show in Germany, and it was a real moment to actually do to do that in a way that, of course, was different to the organ or the guitar sound. But it was, you know, it was kind of fun to play.
Yeah, Ian Anderson doesn't do many interviews, so I wanted to share part of this interview. He's 75 years old today. We'll play a little bit more of that really kind of rare exclusive interview with Ian Anderson, lead singer of Jethro Tull, coming up just after 3:20 this afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Sid in Baton Rouge. Hey, Sid, you're on WWL. How are you?
Doing well, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to chime in about the little girl that was asked to leave the school.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's the victim here. But I guess the question that I would ask is, was it the school or was it the parents that's making her the victim? Because a lot of the parochial schools, my children went to a parochial school, and we went to orientation. They have certain guidelines and certain things that they teach and abide by. And if you don't agree to that as parents, whether you're heterosexual or not, you know, you're not going to be able to attend that school, basically, because that's their right to teach that way. Now, albeit it may be hypocritical or whatever one wants to call it, but did the school just wake up one morning and say, hey, her parents are lesbians, so let's kick her out? Or were the parents not following certain protocol or doctrine or teachings of a religious program?
Oh, you don't mean the parents, the collective parents of the school, but the two parents raising her.
That is correct.
Okay, I don't know. The information that I have is that she was kicked out because she has two mommies. So that would indicate that it wasn't anything specific that they were doing or not doing. But you know, Catholic schools invite people who are not Catholic. I think this was a very unchristian thing to do. And of course, this is my opinion, but I don't see how you teach Christianity and acceptance if you kick this little girl out of school because she has two mommies.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, but there's still certain protocols, you know, because my kids went to Catholic school, and I think any religion, whatever it is, should be accepting of those that are different, because you are taught not to judge and be accepting and to lead by example. That is the deal. But if the parents are not doing that, the child will often fall victim. So I don't know, and it sounds like you don't know either, what were the parents doing? I mean,
assuming
they woke up one morning, you know, if they weren't following the guidelines of the teachings of that school, then I could see where it would cause a distraction.
Well, they're not following the teachings of the, I'm assuming they're not following the teachings of the school because they're lesbians. They're a lesbian couple. And I personally don't think that's a reason to judge people. And while I recognize the school has a right to do it, I think it's wrong for us to continue to teach that kind of relationship should be condemned.
Well, I don't know. And I don't disagree. Now, I'm not saying that I think they're condemning the relationship, or they condemning the maybe not the following certain things. No, I mean, I can vividly remember when my children went to private Catholic school in Baton Rouge, sitting in that audience, and when we're going through orientation, and they went over certain things, that this is the way it's going to be, and this is what we do, and if you have a problem with that, then this is not the program for you.
Well, like I say, so I mean,
we don't know. It may not have been a religious thing, is what I'm getting at. That she was asked to leave. It may have been something that they were not following.
Well, I think we're talking double talk here. If it's not a religious thing, then what is it? I mean, it sounds to me from the statement and from what I've read that they're ejecting her because she has two mommies. Not anything the mommies are doing other than being a gay couple. And so, you know, I think it's time for Christians to do a better job of challenging themselves to actually be Christians and not say you're Christian and be part of a culture war. Don't act like you're Christian if you're not really Christian. Let's go to Mike in Metairie. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Scoot. Two quick things. Just wanted to, on your rock calendar today, just wanted to give a shout out to another birthday for MCA of the Beastie Boys, who passed away several years ago, but big influence on hip hop and music in general. And if you ever seen them live, probably one of the best live bands ever. They were awesome. On the two things on the conversation about the girl in the school, I also overheard on the news in one of the breaks about the priest in I guess in the North Shore that hired the hired. So let me get this straight. He two consenting adults hired, paid each other, were consenting adults. Now they did some stuff on the altar. He got basically excommunicated. They burnt the altar. So that happens between some consenting adults. But if you're a priest and you have raping a child, then you just get moved around to different parishes. So that's the difference between how they handle certain things. And the other thing about that into parallel into the conversation about what happened with the young girl getting kicked out of school and your conversation about religion, you know, and Christians getting, you know, kind of realizing about being Christians. This is for everybody who is religious, everybody, including those who claim to be religious, all are atheists. We're all atheists. A real atheist doesn't believe in anything. If you're a Christian, you believe in one less God than they do, because there's about 1,000 different gods, and there's about 5 or 6 or 7 major religions. You just happen to believe in one more. I believe in one less. We're all atheists. So I just, you know, I wish at some point we would all recognize that part and please keep your religion personal.
Mike, I do appreciate the call. I would think that, though, by definition, we're not atheists if we believe in one God. I mean, even if you're an atheist, I guess you can make that argument if you don't believe in all these other gods. But if you believe in one God, you're not an atheist. And look, I want to be fair to the Catholic Church here. It's my understanding that in recent years, the Catholic Church has done a much better job of exposing pedophile priests. I don't know that this is the active problem today that it once was. But yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting point. I mean, how did this guy, Travis Clark, how did he make it to be a Catholic priest? Here's a guy who hires, was this what the Second Collection was about? Second Collection today is to raise money for Father Clark because he's going to hire some dominatrix to come in and spank him on the altar. So these dominatrix have sex on the altar at this Pearl River Church. And so Melissa Chang and Mindy Dixon, they agreed to a plea deal with prosecutors, and this is according to NOLA.com, for having sex in the Saints Peter's and Paul Catholic Church with the priest Travis Clark. I mean, this was just a disgusting, despicable story. And I just, you see, that guy's giving out communion, and this is what he's doing, and he got caught. Imagine all the things that he was doing while he was taking confessions. Imagine all the things he was doing while he was giving out communion. So this is why I think, you know, the Catholic Church should be a little more officially understanding of people who want to go to communion, who might not abide by every single strict aspect of Catholic dogma. Anyway, that's my opinion. I was Episcopal before Catholic. I'm now baptized and confirmed Catholic. I'm baptized and confirmed Episcopal as well. And I just, I try to do the best I can to talk about not judging people, because it's so easy to judge. I want to switch things around here. I want to go into the break with Righteous Brothers, if that's okay. Yeah, we're doing a little editing of the show right here and now, live on the air. It happens sometimes. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us, because we're going to get to more of your calls. And if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar for today, it was on this day, August 10th, 1940, that Bobby Hatfield was born. He was of the Righteous Brothers. He's dead. He died November 5th, 2003, of a heart attack brought on by cocaine. So even the Righteous Brothers were doing coke. I mean, it's... Back in the 80s, it was a very, very attractive drug. And so many rockers lost their lives to coke. Don't do coke. Listen to your Uncle Scoot here. I'm Uncle Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I don't know what song he was singing at the time he did it, but Jim Morrison in 1970 exposed himself on stage in Miami. On this day in 1970, according to the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, Jim Morrison's trial began for exposing himself on stage in Miami. He was found guilty and was sentenced to 6 months of hard labor, $500 fine for public exposure, and 60 days of hard labor for profanity. His lawyer filed an immediate appeal, and Jim was freed on $50,000 bond. Jim Morrison died in Paris, July of 1971, before his case could be resolved. In December of 2010, the Florida Clemency Board would grant him a full pardon. So he got a full pardon for the full Monty. I'm Scoot. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Gregory in Covington. Hey, Gregory. Hello, Gregory. All right. Let's go to, Fred in Covington. Hey, Fred.
That's me. Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Fred.
I just wanted to make a quick comment in regards to the young lady being put out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her parents. And I do disagree with it. I don't think that it was right. But I feel like if that school, as the gentleman said, maybe about 10 minutes ago, if that school has certain protocols or certain beliefs that they are aligned with, I mean, I feel like they're within their right to have those protocols or those beliefs. And those things don't have to fit everyone, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right, Fred. I mean, I think you're right about that. And I guess what I'm doing is I'm talking about the fact that there should not be judgment of a lesbian couple or a same-sex male couple. That, you know, if there are people if there are people doing porn, I know that some kids have been kicked out of school because their parents were caught doing porn or something very adult online. I can understand that maybe a little more than this, because I don't think there should be that judgment of same-sex couples. But again, that's my opinion, and I know the school has a right to do it, but I just don't think it's the right thing to do.
And I just want to say this one thing as well, and then I'll be done. I listened to your show. I listened to a lot of discussion about Trump yesterday. I listened to this discussion. And the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues I see that we have in our country right now is people with differing opinions, they never actually come to the table and actually discuss those opinions. We're at this point where it's like, I don't like Trump, and so I just don't like him, and so I'm not going to talk about him. Or I love Biden, and so, mm-hmm. I mean, so people, we're losing that skill of actually coming to the table and actually trying to get on one accord because of who we like or what we believe or what we dislike. And I just wish that we could do something about that, because when I listen to your show, I hear a lot of people talking at people, but I don't hear conversation, and I don't hear us trying to find solutions, man. I appreciate your show. You do a good job. Thank you.
All right, Fred, I appreciate the comments. I don't think it's my job to try to talk somebody into being a certain way. And so, you know, maybe I do shy away from true negotiations when it comes to why I think you should not like Trump or why I think you should not support him. So I stay away from that. And if that's somebody's opinion, well, then that's their opinion. The sad thing is that when it really matters most, when the politicians are coming together and doing things together, that's when nobody's talking. And that's where it would really make a difference. It doesn't make too much of a difference on talk radio other than to vicariously influence the politicians who make decisions for us, or allegedly make decisions for us. But, you know, I don't get on here and use any kind of persuasive tactics to convince people to think just the way I think. But we do have a lot of different conversations about differing opinions. Let's go to Ian with some more text messages.
Got some good text today. Here's one that says, my sister and her partner raised her partner's daughter from a previous relationship from the age of 3. My niece is now married and in med school. Tax the churches.
Really? That's just a great example. And again, you know, we're talking about the designation of sin on same-sex couples. And if that's something that's against your religious beliefs, then I hope that you would have the same judgment against any two people who live together who aren't married. But then, as far as I know, this couple's married. Jennifer Parker and her wife, Emily, yeah, they're married. They're a married couple. So, you know, nobody knows. Nobody's gone to God and talked to him face to face and then come back and told us what God really thinks about homosexuals. You don't really know. We believe certain things, but you don't know.
Here's a text that says, as a Christian, I have always appreciated this quote from Gandhi. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ, specifically because of the people that are running that school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really a really great point. I think that's the thing that really really struck me about this particular situation. The Bible Baptist Academy in DeQuincy decided to kick this kid out because the child has two mommies. Why is that in itself a sin? And if you think the parents are committing a sin, that's one thing. Why visit that on the child? Because the goal is to tell other people how to lead their lives. And that doesn't seem to be very Christian when it comes to a situation like this.
Yeah, Jesus wouldn't have done that. You know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would have let the little girl keep going to school.
I think so.
I am certain. Here's a text that says, the reason the percent of people who follow organized religion is way down is because of the hypocrisy and the self-righteousness. An example, if a woman or man is divorced, the archdiocese will not hire them to teach. But it's okay for a pedophile priest to serve communion. Religion is what's in your heart. It's about how you treat others.
It's so true. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. You got another one?
Yeah, I got one more. I'm going to tuck in real quick. In regards to that altar on the North Shore that they had the weird orgy on, text says they should have raffled the altar off instead of burning it. They probably would have raised a lot of money for the new altar.
Boy, can you imagine what the video would have gone for?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it really is true. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1968, this song entered the Billboard Top 40. 1968 was a year for psychedelic rock, but it was also a year for bubblegum rock. And this is the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, and this was their first, it was their second hit. I think the first one was Simon Says or something. Anyway, there was bubblegum rock in the 68 as well. 1, 2, 3, Red Light. Yeah, this was part of it. It went on to be a million seller, hit the top 5. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, sad note today. It was on this day in 2008. Isaac Hayes. Yeah, talking about chefs, okay. Isaac Hayes passed away at his home in Memphis, Tennessee, at the age of 65. Chef was one of my favorite characters on South Park, and Isaac Hayes did the voice until some people convinced him that they were making fun of black people, and I don't think he wanted to be part of that or some religious thing. I don't know if I remember exactly why, but I know there was some confusion about the content of South Park and Isaac Hayes as a black American, but I don't know. I thought his role was pretty funny. All right. We're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. Also, back to school. A lot of kids are going back to school. Any problems so far? Are you excited about, were you excited when you first went back to school? Were you excited about it? Or were you scared your first day back to school? And also a little more of my exclusive interview with Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull coming up on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.